Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Grey Malkin Lane podcast, where queer friends and allies gather to review and discuss the original X-Men comics in continuity order. We are celebrating Pride Month this June, even if other places tell us we can't. We're doing it anyway, because this is a gay show and we're going to have fun. I'm so excited to be joined by a gathering of just some of my very favorite people. I'm smiling ear to ear before we even start. We're here to read the script of Champions number 2. And if you heard Champions number 1, you know how silly these scripts are and how queer-coded they are all at the same time. This issue came out in January 1976. The title is Whom the Gods Would Join. Jenny Isabella, under their name at the time, Tony Isabella, is the writer. Don Heck is the penciler. John Tartag is the inker. Phil Raich is on colors. Irv Watanabe on letters. And Marv Wolfman is the editor. I'm Chad Anderson, and I will be playing your narrator today.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mike Rossi. I'll be playing Angel today.
I'm Christy Porter, and I will be playing Black Widow.
My name is Michael Hamm, and I'll be playing Ghost Rider.
My name is Sean Fred, and I'll be playing Hercules.
My name is Scott Free, and I will be playing Iceman.
I'm Nam Wan, and I'll be your Venus.
Hi, I'm Kaelin Bhatia, and I'm going to be Pluto.
I'm Ryan Krall, and I'm going to be playing Ares and the Huntsman.
I'm Sarah Starshine, and I will be Hippolyta.
Unless it's Michael Hamm reading in a southern accent, and then it's Hippolyta.
That's what I always say. I'm Adam Kasseri, and I'll be Zeus and Minucius.
Previously in the Champions, deadly threats from Olympian legends swarmed the campus of UCLA, all looking for Professor Victoria Starr, the secret civilian identity of the goddess Venus. The threats drew together 5 unlikely heroes, all on campus that day for unrelated reasons. Warren Worthington, Angel, and Robert Drake, Iceman, formerly of the X-Men, Natasha Romanova, Black Widow, a former Avenger, newly broken up from Daredevil, and now living with her mentor, Ivan Petrovich, John Blaze, the stunt rider turned Spirit of Vengeance, Ghost Rider, and Hercules, the Prince of Power himself, half-mortal son of Zeus, and also a former Avenger. And the reason for Venus being sought? Zeus has demanded that Venus marry Ares, the god of war, and that Hercules marry Hippolyta, queen of the Amazons. And there to deliver the bad news? Pluto, god of the underworld. The cover is by Ron Wilson and Joe Sinnott. The Champions logo is bold in red and black, with the lineup announced just over it. Hercules, Black Widow, Angel, Ghost Rider, Iceman. Hercules gets the cover box and the central focus once again as he cowers under the mad god Pluto, dressed in shades of blue, his hair just crazy as he rants.
Your comrades cannot help you, Hercules. Today belongs to Pluto, god of hell.
The other 4 heroes rush forward while Ares and Hippolyta look back with concern. Chaos reigns on the campus of UCLA, for in the past hour, its scholarly confines have been rent by creatures from beyond time. Hercules and his newfound comrades, the Angel, the Black Widow, the Ghost Rider, the Iceman, and Venus, have valiantly defeated these creatures, only to learn that the peril has barely begun. All are dressed in their superhero costumes. The 5 new allies aren't a team yet, but they are gathered together to face one common threat. And in the middle, Venus, dressed in pink and gold, standing before them against an open portal, Pluto, in blue and black, Ares, in blue and brown, sword in hand. Hippolyta in white, pink, and gold, also sword in hand. All 3 have capes down to their knees.
What madness is this?
Deem it what thou wilt, man god, but thy blusterous outrage cannot alter the decree of our lord Zeus. Before this day is done, thou shalt wed Hippolyta, queen of the Amazons, forevermore to serve her. And thou, my dear Venus, will likewise become the spouse of the war god Ares. For as Zeus doth know full well, shouldst either of thee resist these matches, the universe dies.
Hercules, can the death god speak truly?
No, never would my father Zeus condemn his son and loyal niece to such fates. Pluto doth lie, but he will lie no more.
Hercules lunges at Pluto, but Ares strikes the demigod in the stomach. Hercules responds with a fist across Ares' face.
Wilt thou never learn, Hercules? Ares.
His human half, Pluto. Always hath it caused this mongrel to act thus towards his betters. Else how could he think Ares to stand idle while he doth attack?
War god Hercules, but think of thy past defeats at his hand. Pity thy memory to fail thee.
Hold, Prince of Power. He who strikes my ally must face my sword as well, as I have no wish to injure my husband to be.
Husband to be? Woman, I would sooner marry all 3 of the Gorgons.
Harsh.
Right.
Incensed, Hercules throws Ares right into Hippolyta, knocking them both over with a choom. Then Hercules spars with Pluto, but is soon overpowered.
Now, Pluto, it is just we two who battle.
Battle, Hercules? Doth the hawk battle the sparrow? Doth the lion battle the lamb?
Thy grip, never have I felt its like.
We do not battle, Hercules. Battle is betwixt equals, and thou canst never be Pluto's equal.
Stars, Hercules, strength thus fade at the merest touch.
That creep is killing Herc.
Maybe it's time we stop standing around, staring like a bunch of googly-eyed groupies. We've got to stop Pluto.
Or die trying, Angel. We can't fight power like his. Not even with Venus on our side. There's only one way to save Hercules.
But even as Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. the Black Widow, outlines her plan, Hercules lies unconscious at the feet of Pluto.
Ah, though thou didst chide Ares for his lack of memory, thou, though half-mortal braggart, art no less forgetful. Thou didst once sign an unbreakable Olympian contract with me, and though I did release thee from certain of its conditions, others are yet binding. All thy vaunted might is useless against Pluto, and so shall it ever remain.
And perhaps the Lord of the Underworld isn't always known for telling the truth of things, but in this case, he's right. Go see Thor 222 and 223. But Angel and Ghost Rider rush forward to strike Pluto head on.
Sorry to shake up the status quo, mister, but that's our friend you've been beating on.
And we tend to get a mite upset over that sort of thing.
What? You dare attack me? Fools, I am thy final master. I am Pluto, Lord of the Dead.
A blast of eldritch energy, and the two heroes go flying with a fact. But Pluto has already passed through the portal, and Venus and Black Widow are able to pull Hercules back through.
It worked. Warren and the Ghost Rider have drawn Pluto's attention away from Hercules, so we can drag my cousin to safety.
They're only halfway home, Venus. The rest is up to Iceman.
Not to worry, lady. Considering the assortment of creepy crawlies that have come out of these holes to Olympus, I'll seal it up if I have to reconstruct the Matterhorn on the spot.
Iceman plugs up the portal with a circle of ice, then generates an ice bridge to carry he, Black Widow, and the recovering Hercules to safety, while Angel grabs Venus and flies after them. More on the Matterhorn later, folks.
Even that mountain of ice won't hold Pluto and the others for long.
Then I suggest we vacate this area until Hercules recovers. If we're going to face that trio again, I'd prefer he were at his full strength.
You called it, Widow. I'll give a lift to my humanities professor, me goddess of love, while you slide the friendly skies. The Ghost Rider is going to do a little advanced scouting.
Well, I'll be damned. In spite of all we've just gone through, Warren seems more together than he's been.
You gotta go again, because it's "I'll be darned."
Reflexes.
It's Bobby. It has to be darned.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be darned. In spite of all we've just gone through, Warren seems more together than he's been in months. Maybe this impromptu coffee clatch is agreeing with him.
While on the other side of the inquisitive Bobby Drake's handiwork, Ares is hacking at the ice wall with a sword.
Pluto, if yon barrier remains unshattered, we cannot pursue our foes. So why dost thou withhold thy power from this task?
Because, O Queen, I perceive 'tis unnecessary. So unnecessary that I have already returned our defeated warriors to Olympus. Hercules and Venus will never submit to us, but there can be one who can compel their obedience. And since it be his wish thou wed our most uncooperative godlings, let us take leave of this place and seek audience with Zeus.
In a flash of energy, pink and orange, reappearing at the leisurely palace of Zeus, who sits with his fellow Olympian gods. Zeus holds a staff topped with a winged insignia, his beard the color of strawberries, his robes in shades of purple with yellow inlay, his arms adorned with brass accessories. Among those lounging nearby, Dionysus, Athena, and Hera.
Pluto, thou basest of villains, thou darest to foul this hallowed air with thine Stygian presence? Is it not enough that thou hast led me to betray my own son? Must I suffer the sight of thee as well?
My lord Zeus, I fear I must needs remind thee that the balance of power in the universe hath shifted somewhat.
I need no reminder, O prince of treachery.
Perhaps. Still, what harm can it do for me to refresh thy memory with the tale of how I, realizing that there be other rulers of the dead throughout the dimensions, who might also feel the unjust persecution of their their peers, sought out these gods to form an alliance for our mutual protection. Though some refused most haughtily, the majority were receptive. We seek only peace and security for our dark realms, my lord, and so it grieves me to remind thee that not even fabled Olympus could long withstand an assault by such an alliance. Not that such a tragic conflagration, that's a hard word to say, conflagration would ever come to pass, and that we may be assured of continued harmony betwixt Olympus and Hades. I did but request that two of thy loyal subjects be wed to these trusted friends of thy own kingdom. Marriages have been arranged with far less cause, my lord.
Okay, now Caelan, one more time, but off book.
Jesus. What the hell is this soliloquy?
In a series of flashbacks, Pluto makes a deal with other Hell Lords, including Nightmare, Satan, and Mephisto. Eight hands in total make one compact agreement, and a dangerous image of Zeus grieving the corpses of Olympus around him shows as prophecy if these agreements are not kept.
Thou knowest well that if Olympus should fall, the universe would soon be thine, Dark One. That is why Zeus hath agreed to this perfidy.
No matter what thy reasons, my lord, an agreement has been struck, an agreement Hercules and Venus appear loath to honor. I insist they be made to abide by thy command.
They shall abide. But I warn thee, Pluto, if this be but further deceit on thy part, thou shalt feel the awesome vengeance of Zeus as no man or god hath felt it before.
Zeus shatters marble in his bare hand and then storms away as Pluto gloats.
Hath he forgotten the sacred laws of this land? Laws he himself did inscribe for all to obey?
Aye, for in the Lord of Olympus's own hand is it written that wife may not oppose husband, nor husband wife.
With these marriages we do bind thee only to Olympians, weak who could prevent the overthrow of Zeus.
Reveling in his wickedness, Pluto raises his own hands while praising himself.
The universe beckons, my friends. Soon Olympus will fall. There will be no Zeus. There shall only be Pluto, the sovereign supreme.
Meanwhile, back on planet Earth.
Pardon my going over this again, but it takes time to get used to the fact that Dr. Victoria Starr is really the goddess Venus, and that we've just fought the Grecian god of the underworld.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Wings. It's tough getting your tails kicked by something out of Bullfinch's mythology.
We hardly got our tails kicked, Iceman.
Tell it to the Ghost Rider, Widow. Pluto blasted him in the skull cycle near 30 yards with his parting shot. I'm surprised they're both still running.
Smoke trailing behind his bike, Ghost Rider joins his new allies as well.
What hast thou discovered, mortal?
My friends call me Johnny Blaze, big fella. But on the news front, the various critters we've tangled with have all disappeared, along with those blasted holes.
Disappeared? Ye gods, what evil game doth Pluto play with the Lion of Olympus? Or be there another behind the charade?
Come down, Hercules. You haven't got any proof that Zeus is involved in this, except for what Pluto said.
Yeah, and old Dark Eyes didn't strike me as being the Olympian edition of George Washington.
Bah, you mortals have no conception of my father's power. So overwhelming is his might that none, not even the Lord of Hades, would dare use his name in falsehood.
But there is one who is freely given to call upon the name of Zeus, for he is the only being in all of the cosmos to be endowed with a fraction of thy father's matchless energy. The Huntsman!
Sorry.
It was amazing.
The heroes look skyward and see a man with a bowl cut riding a slide of fire and carrying a fiery spear bearing down on them. He's wearing what all Greek hunting gods must wear, apparently skin-tight purple with red underwear on the outside, plus red boots and red gloves and a little red ring around the collar. Last seen in Submariner number 29.
The one creature no Olympian can conquer.
The skinny guy?
Disparage not my physical appearance, whopper, besides my Zeus-given ability, I can now command the weapons of Pluto as well. Consider this spear of fire, which possesses the unusual property of paralyzing those it strikes.
The heroes are all hit at once by the paralyzing fires, though perhaps not all those it strikes are affected. Ghost Rider soon returns a blast of fire all his own.
The others are rooted on the spot, but my satanic power is protecting me, so let's stretch the old Blaze luck and pray the reverse doesn't hold true. Bingo! My health hellfire bolt hit him dead center and blasted him plumb out of the sky. Wonder what effect that'll have on the rest of the good guys.
And by way of answer, Black Widow, Angel, and Iceman recover, but Hercules and Venus are down. And the Huntsman falls downward, but teleports away last minute.
They're unconscious. Apparently our foes' weapons are more effective against Olympians.
Great, because judging from the way the Huntsman blinked out before he hit the ground, we've still got a fight on our hands.
I can't revive them with my homegrown cold compresses, Warren. They're out for the count, and then some.
Then it's just the four of us.
The three of us, Angel. Johnny, only you can withstand those spears. Can you stay here and guard them?
Can't say I like that, but I can see you're right.
Well, it looks like you've become the leader of our little group in record time.
Is that an objection, young man?
Heck no. You're a darn sight more attractive than the last team leader I worked with.
The caption here reads, and I kid you not, here now, Chris Claremont.
Then let's find the Huntsman before he finds us.
Or to put it as Cyclops, the previously referred to leader, might have put it, let's go.
The mortals do pursue me. I was a fool to trust in Pluto's devices, but I need only my Zeus-created staff to destroy these foes. That and this refrain, slain by Zeus, dread thunderfire, rubble thou were, so thou died.
But now, O Titan from Hades, arise to do battle at my side.
Oh, I'm having a hard time, but y'all, Numb One is losing it over there.
I'm trying to keep it together, I promise. But when he said, well, I lost it. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. No, I promise I'll be on mute.
I haven't recovered since Holes, so.
There's a lot to unpack.
I'm really trying. I'm sorry.
No, I love it. As the Huntsman completes the summoning ritual, an enormous warrior creature, glowing yellow with energy, is conferred behind him. A muscular man made of energy with mad eyes, nearly naked, except for his harness, looking like some Grecian He-Man. His name is Menoetius. M-E-N-O-E-T-I-U-S. We're saying it Menoetius. And in the early days of Zeus's reign, he joined with his fellow Titans in a rash war against Olympus. In that epic combat of eons past, Menoetius was felled by one of the Thunderer's awesome bolts. So awesome indeed that it transformed portions of the giant's own flesh into living energy. This, then, is the creature that the Huntsman has summoned to fight in his behalf. This is the creature who now hears and obeys a shrill command to
attack.
So much for the advantages of having big white wings. Looks like old King Kilowatt has spotted me and obviously selected me as his first attackee. Hey, Frostbite, how about lending a hand?
Sure thing, Feathers. Let's see how he reacts to a Sub-Zero blast.
Suspended on his ice slide, Iceman fires a single blast into the giant's shoulder to distract it from pursuing the Angel, but a quick blow from the giant shatters the slide.
Arr! Arr!
Ripes, he shattered my ice slide without even missing an R. But this little mutant has done enough time for Professor X's danger room to be able to reform said slide in seconds and come back fighting.
A blast of ice under the giant's feet sends it toppling to the ground. Meanwhile, Black Widow arranges her widow's line just so, remembering that time she fought Electro in Daredevil 89.
Even though that behemoth is unable to regain his footing, his intense energy is actually melting the ice stick. But I've experienced battling living lightning bolts, so let's see what happens when I throw one end of my spare web line around that steel flagpole and toss the other end into that smoldering mixture of fury and ice.
What happens is that the whole thing goes crack. The giant zaps loudly and falls.
No, no, Menoetius hath been struck down.
Good lord.
No, sorry. Completely no. Redo.
It's so good. No, it's good. Followed directly by an electric shock. For the Huntsman's staff, which summoned the late Titan to Earth, is made of wood native to Olympus. Wood that is against all mortal logic. Conductive. The Huntsman falls, and the Angel swoops down.
My staff! I must regain it!
Can't let you do that, fella. It's not so much that we're worried you'll conjure up another monster. It's just that your poetry is so bad. But if you really want it, you'll get your staff back, friend, wrapped around your scrawny neck.
Witless mortals! Thinkest thou the Huntsman hath no powers of his own? Thinkest he cannot call upon the power to bypass time and space and send thee elsewhere?
As golden and red energy gather around the Huntsman, elsewhere, where an anxious Johnny Blaze gives strenuous test the theory that they also serve who only stand and wait.
Getting a mite fidgety waiting on the others to return. I hope they're... Huh? That strange glow. And it's charging from the center. Ares, Pluto, Hippolyta.
That's right. The three gods are back. All of their weapons raised.
What happened to the huntsman? We're back where we left the Ghost Rider.
But why is he looking at us so strangely?
They're making another grab for Hercules and Venus. But it ain't that easy. I got him. All with one blast. They're changing.
Ghost Rider lashes out with Hellfire before realizing it wasn't the gods at all. It was an illusion from the huntsman. And...
What's that crazy jerk do?
Oh my lord, I just murdered my own friends.
The huntsman strikes Ghost Rider in the head with two fists.
Not quite, thy flaming fool, but 'tis enough 'twill serve. 'Twas simplicity itself to create the illusion that thy friends were thine mortal enemies. And now that I have regained my staff, I shall part this veil of tears with my slumbering charges. Rejoice, O humans! This day there be weddings most auspicious in fabled Olympus.
In a flash of light, the huntsman, Hercules, and Venus...
They're gone. The huntsman has taken them, and it's your fault.
Bobby!
Where are your ghost tricks now, please? Now that you've screwed it up for Hercules and Venus.
But Ghost Rider turns back into Johnny Blaze.
I only turn into the Ghost Rider when there's some danger present.
Well, there sure isn't any danger around here. Pluto's got what he wants.
Don't blame yourself, Johnny. This affair isn't ended yet. We'll track down the huntsman and rescue them.
Track down the huntsman? Tell me how, Widow. Tell me how four mortals track somebody to Olympus.
There are many paths a man may take, and many the paths of others he will cross in a lifetime. But there are times when all paths seem to lead to but one destination. And when that destination is despair, something within the human soul dies. The four humans simply walk away from each other. Next, the assault on Olympus in Champions number 3. Do-do-do-do! That was amazing. That script reads so silly until I heard it out loud. Good Lord, was there a lot of like long monologuing in like Greek speak?
that was a lot.
I felt like I was back in Sunday school, kind of. But also some really incredible things. All right. Well, breakout performance this episode. Welcome to Ryan Kroll as the Huntsman. That was alarming and surprising. And I laughed my ass off. This character, I kind of fully expect to see you cosplay as him, first of all, at some point. Second, tell us about the rich interior world of the Huntsman. What was it like for you to play this character today?
Well, I remember the Huntsman like popping up like a few times in comics. So when I was like, okay, well, let me see what he looked like in this appearance. And then he looked like such a fucking twerp that I was like, oh, I need to make him like kind of like an effeminate Skeletor type of character, which... Also, it said shrill a lot, which I think I have down pretty packed. So I was excited about that.
But also, he's like crazy powerful, this villain. Like he's kicking god asses.
I just want to say that Kalen's Pluto performance, his constant reading of "Thou art the," it's like a guy doing like my taxes all the time, and I was like, okay. Like he was a good monologuist. So kudos to you, Kalen.
Oh, thank you very much, Ryan. I have years of practice. As you know, the thou and though, like in the monologue, I was like, I am getting so tongue twisted. Funny, I had to text Chad before I did the recording. I was like, do you remember how I did Pluto the first time? Because I don't, because the champion number one hadn't come out yet when we did this recording.
Pluto joining, I love when Marvel does the thing where they like take the actual Greek legend but then make it Marvel style. Pluto like joining with the other devils of other hells to like get one over on Zeus by like forcing a very simple marriage, but like the world will end if he doesn't like get his way. It's really fucking funny to me. I love this supervillain plot. I think it's delicious.
And it's very Greek mythology too, like so that, or Roman mythology. Like it's great. It's very much, it fits that. I was going to give Scott a shout out because sometimes, you know, playing, like being the straight man, and I mean that ironically because Scott, you're gay as hell and so is the character you're playing. Iceman was really good, but I think my favorite reading is when you said, or to put it as Cyclops, the previously referred leader to might have put it, let's go. When has Cyclops ever said let's go? But you made me believe it, Scott.
Yeah, you know, I was just channeling that Chris Claremont sort of dialogue energy with just the let's go. You know, it sounds like it was written by Claremont himself.
Very Boy Scout. Scott, I've heard you read Iceman a few different times now. This one is Bobby. Like, wow, wow, wow. It's so 1950s, like Leave It to Beaver. But at the same time, he's so gay. It cracks me up that he like finally got Angel to himself and then literal Greek gods start dropping out of the sky to distract his friend. Like Angel finally put on that deep V costume and now he's not looking at Bobby at all.
It's just another chapter of the many heartaches of Bobby Drake. But you know, he's young, he's in the city, he can go out to West Hollywood, live his truth.
Did you enjoy plugging the giant hole with your Matterhorn?
Something tells me Bobby's not plugging a lot of giant holes. Speaking of straight men, I do want to give a shout out to Indomitable Michael Hamm with the spot on Southern accent for Johnny Blaze, which is just like all this insanity. And there's just you having to read Ghost Rider just standing around for just long periods of time.
My satanic powers have protected me. Bingo.
The bingo killed me. Yeah, there was a lot of the like, I plumb got him straight through the chest that I was like, I don't know how to deliver this character or these lines. And everyone is so camp. And I love reading with all of you guys. And I was just like, oh, Ghost Rider's camp. Issue one, it was so amazing. He had so many little Southernisms that it made me want to do a Southern accent. And this time I was like, oh, we're going to have a tough time with this one. He's such the straight man in this one. Like, he's so like, why am I here? What am I doing? I don't belong here. And then everyone's like, you really fucked this one up, Ghost Rider. And he's like, I'm just a big flaming guy. What do you want from me?
Bobby calling out the flamer on the team for messing things up is funny. It's funny.
I like when he in the comic, it has holes in quotation marks as if like he's referencing back to Bobby to be like, I guess we're calling these things holes. I mean, I would have went with portals, but I guess holes is just as good. It's a weird character that I'm unfamiliar with in most circumstances, so it's a bit difficult to play him. I'm channeling my Nicolas Cage, but I feel like with Num One, I'm like, do you know about Venus? Are you just like that much of a goddess that's the energy that you're bringing to this character? Like, it feels like it's just you when you're reading it.
I like felt like I didn't have a lot to do this episode, mostly because I'm unconscious for most of it.
Last time you got to like twirl and like send heart emojis at people. But
I Sailor Mooned the last episode, and now I'm just like, okay, one blast and I'm done. But I think I just did like attack it the same way I would, like, you know, trying to embody any kind of like goddess persona. So that's how I handled that. But
doesn't seem difficult for you.
Thank you. I try.
It was so fun watching you laugh your ass off, Num One. Like, that was almost my favorite part of today's episode.
I'm sorry, everyone. I was trying to keep together, I promise, but Ryan came in and like crushed it as the huntsman. And like when you read the comic and you're looking at that character, it gives very much like Toad, like old school Toad, like with the bowl cut and the like the weird unitard and like the underwear on the outside. So like when he did it, I like lost it because it was really, really funny. And like, I'm so impressed. It was so good. I'm so proud of you. You did an amazing job.
Is a huntsman who is serving cunt simply a cuntsman?
A cuntsman, yes, of course.
But no, I think when you did the welt, I like couldn't keep it together. Like, I still have like tears. And so I was that was really funny. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It was fun to do. The one that got me the good was Christy. Your accent is, are you Russian as well? Because it was really good.
Likewise, I feel like it's a bit of a, sometimes accents evolve. And I don't think I am the same Russian as I was in Champions 1 or in the Beast People Joins evolve. The Avengers episode.
But so your entire body posture changes. Go into like this little cat pose. Like, it's
yeah, too bad it's a podcast, so people can't see. I act with my whole body. So, you know, I am actually really grateful I didn't have to do the Russian and then be like Adam with Zeus and also manage like the Shakespearean language. Like, I get hats off because the Shakespearean while trying to be like, this is also a fun, silly comic, is not like easy.
Well, my Google-eyed groupies, we had Mike Rossi back as the Angel, delivering very 1950s kid brother energy along with, like, this is like that trio, like Angel, Bobby, and Iceman, or Bobby and Beast, where they get together and they're like doing kick lines in the hall and just, like, just being crazy. This is that part of them. They just go so silly. He's so wholesome. But again, that costume.
I wore red for you today, Chad. I don't have a V-neck that I could just slide on, but I'm getting there. Just step by step.
Pair of scissors.
Yeah, no, Angel just, I don't know. I feel like he's the kind of guy who just is not reading between the lines at all. You know, he kind of like has that one comment he makes to Ghost Rider, kind of comparing him to Cyclops or whatever the case is. But I just feel like he's just kind of in his own little world, not really paying attention to what's going on other than like the specific actions that he's witnessing. Like he's
just for those that are paying attention to the classic X-Men reads over on the X-Men story, Angel just tried to fuck Storm before joining the Champions. And he is low level trying to fuck both Venus and Black Widow in this issue.
Get it?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Who wouldn't? Is my question. Who would not want to do that?
Sarah, as Hippolyta, is she actually into Hercules, or do you feel like she's being coerced into this a little bit? And does she want him more after being compared to the entire race of Gorgons?
That was so cruel. I think it's a game for her now because that, you know, I think she likes the chase. And then being compared to three Gorgons, not just one, three. That's she has to have him now.
Adam, I'm similarly hoping to see you in the Manicius cosplay costume sometime. What was it like playing this weird giant made of cheese?
A lot of heavy work. I love that I have the RR lines to go to. What I didn't fully understand in the dialogue, and thank you, Ryan, for that wonderful Huntsman lead. And I have thought to try and do a similar Skeletor voice for this thing. But I was like, are they saying the same line? Are they not? Like, I was just such a weird fucking creature and a great counterbalance to Zeus.
I think it was a weird spell that they had to do together.
I was going to say, it's like Etrigan from DC. Like, you know, like him talking it through. But usually it's one person that says the whole thing. Or, he transforms. But instead, it's just two of them talking.
Angel's line about the Huntsman's bad poetry sends me. I think it's so funny.
I do want to give it up to my son, Sean. You were an incredible Hercules. So thank you for joining me on like Shakespearean Saturday morning cartoon.
Sean, I'm picturing you just kind of stomping around your house practicing like your voice all day, like just in character while you're making breakfast.
Yeah, I think my neighbors hate me, especially with Hercules and when I voiced Mojo. That was like a lot of yelling, so they probably hear me through the wall.
They like pound on the wall and you're like, witless mortals?
Yeah, witless mortals. He says mortal almost like it's a curse word. Like, what you want, mortal? So he's an asshole in this comic.
This is a crazy adventure. I always love on the show when we get to talk about like the playable lands in the comic book video game, right? Like we make Olympus a full like land and you put this in the little video game adventure. This is so fun. There's so much over the top dialogue and you can tell that Jenny, and I have spoken to Jenny, by the way, when talking about her old work, she's very comfortable with using the name Tony and even prefers it in some ways. But Jenny and Tony's work on this story, you can tell they're having the time of their life writing just a ridiculous superhero adventure, which is so fun and continued into the next issue.
Did you get an understanding from them on why holes were in quotes and why holes were mentioned so much in this comic?
There was a lot of holes in the first issue. There was things popping out of holes all over the place.
I like, you know, you're like, it's like usually queer subtext, not queer explicit text every time.
Yeah.
Holes. Flaming spears, ice sticks, Matterhorn. We had a good one. We had a really good one.
Plus, Manicius is pretty much wearing a mid-Atlantic leather outfit. I mean, that is pure harness diaper, like, realness.
They all are. This is like, yeah, this is Leather City Central on, like, a Saturday.
Bobby referencing his, like, danger room training also made me laugh so hard. Like, that's... He, like, had to take just a moment to remember all that practice he had with slides in the danger room. So fun. Okay, we'll wrap up there. Thank you, everybody. That was a blast. I had so much fun recording with all of you today. As we're doing our outros, please feel free to share with everyone where they can find you online. Any final thoughts? And is there anything you'd like to plug for early June 2025? Let's begin with Mike Rossi.
This was really fun. It's always fun to hang out with you guys, with you all, and be silly, even though I don't really have any vo- voices to explore. I don't really have anything coming up in the next couple of months. I'm an infrequent poster on Instagram. Illustrator.mike is where you can find me there.
My name is Michael Ham. You can find me on Instagram at Hammy73, Facebook, Michael Ham. Don't have a lot coming up, but I do just want to say thank you to everyone. This is always the highlight of my week, month, whatever. I had read this issue a couple times. It made no sense, but hearing you all act it out has been wonderfully pleasant for me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Num1. You can find me on Instagram at Num1XMN Cosplay. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in June. I hope to be going to cons and hanging out with you guys. Catch up with me there and you'll see what I'm up to.
Hi, Chad. Thanks so much again for having me on. Kalen Bhatia, 1/5 of Homo Superior. We've got two other folks on here as well. Y'all are just a wonderful cast of characters, and this definitely like lightened my spirits in the middle of the week. In July, Homo Superior is going to be at Uncanny Experience, and then in August we'll be at FlameCon. So that's what we got coming up for the summer.
I'll see you there, both of them.
I'm Christy. Happy Pride Month. This point have out the re-release of the anthology that I was in called Bi Visibility. It's a comic anthology. Look it up. It's great, especially if you're bi. You can find me on Blue Sky at Christy Porter. I am a cosplayer, producer, journalist, sometimes writer. I'm on Instagram at Porter Geeks Out.
Thank you so much, Chad, for hosting this as always. And I was laughing so hard, I cried. So thank you, everybody. This is a lot of fun. You can find me on Instagram. I'm Sarah_Starshine. That's Sarah with an H and Starshine with two R's.
Yeah. Hi, Adam Kasari, first time voice actor, long time listener of Grey Malkin Podcast. Thanks so much for having me on. I am one of the two other people on Homo Superior Podcast. Listen and check out all these other people's stuff. I'm just so happy to have been Zeus, and I pray that Minutia somehow returns with diaper and all.
Stay tuned for Champions number 3.
Hello, I'm Sean. I'm from Solving for X and X-Men Task Podcast. We're working our way through X-Men Evolution. You can also find me on Words of the Witches with Kevin. We're working our way through the Charmed printed materials because he's obsessed with Charm, and I'm just along for the ride.
Scott Free on most forms of social media. If it's June, I will be at the Uncanny Experience. In July, I will be Jamie Madrox, so I apologize in advance. And in August, I will also be at FlameCon. Speaking of big gaping holes, I will be Mysterio, probably. So if I walk right past you, it's because I'm wearing a stupid-ass fishbowl on my head and I'm not being a bitch, or am I?
or both. Two things can be true.
That was so much fun, guys. I really enjoyed that. It's so nice to do this. I am one of the other members of Homo Superior Podcast. We have weekly issues that come out every week, and then we do creator crushes and some fun stuff as well. You can find us at Homo Superior Podcast. That is on Instagram, and personal one is Ryan, RyanKrull. On Instagram.
Okay, lastly, I'm Chad Anderson. I keep my own social media private because I got kiddos. This group is welcome to add me, just ask. Follow the show at GrayMalkin_Lane on Instagram, most easily. Also, watch out to celebrate Pride Month later in June. We'll be doing the trial of Heather Douglas Moondragon, one of my maybe top 5 favorite characters in like all of fiction. I love her so much. We're going to have a delicious time talking about that bald, crazy lady. It's going to be so fun. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. Stay tuned for the reading of Avengers number 138, where we get to see Yellowjacket Hank Pym beat the shit out of the Toad, and it's way unwarranted. Stay tuned, you'll listen. All right, everybody, we'll see you back here in just a few minutes.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Grey Malkin Lane Podcast, where queer friends and allies gather to review and discuss the original X-Men comics in continuity order. And sometimes that means taking a trip over to the world of the Avengers under the pen of Steve Englehart in 1975, because Beast is over there acting like a lot. We're going to be reading Avengers number 138 today. This is from August 1975 and has the very bizarre title, Stranger in a Strange Man. Steve Englehart's the writer. It's George Tuska on pencils. pencils, Vince Coletta on inks, George Roussos on colors, Charlotte Jetter on letters, and Len Wein is the editor. We have a beautiful cover by Gil Kane and Mike Esposito. I'm Chad Anderson, and I will be reading the part of your narrator today.
I'm Derek Nichols. I'll be playing Thor.
Corey Thomas. I'll be playing Iron Man and Billy.
And I'm Taylor Vessel. I'll be playing the resident mutant, the Beast, and the cab driver.
I'm Sarah Century, and I'm here as Moon Dragon.
I'm Daniel Guilford, and I am the ever-lovable Yellow Jacket.
At least you think so.
Always.
What's up, everybody? My name is Dominic Middleton. I'll be playing everybody's favorite android Vision, along with Sam Reuther and Man Number One.
I'm Ruth Ann Price, and I will be everyone's favorite witch, the Scarlet Witch, and woman, and Bitsy.
I'm Matt Parent, and I will be playing the Stranger.
On the cover of this book, we see the Stranger all giant and bent over in his green cape and red tunic, looking very heterosexual. He's firing a blast at the Avengers while they swarm on him. Thor is leaping forward, Mjolnir in hand, Iron Man and his nose mask firing repulsor blasts. Beast leaps forward, his assets toward the camera. Yellow Jacket jumps out of the way, and Moondragon, Stranger has her grabbed firmly around the waist in his giant hand, and she is not here for it. And there came a day unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest heroes and heroines found themselves united against a common threat. On that day, the Avengers were born to fight the foes no single superhero could withstand. Through the years, the roster has prospered, changing many times, but their glory has never been denied. Heed the call then, for now, the Avengers assemble. Stan Lee presents the Mighty Avengers. Previously, in the Avengers, their roster a bit short, Thor and Iron Man sought to rebuild their ranks, welcoming the Wasp and Yellowjacket back to the fold, and recruiting new members, Moondragon and the Beast. But in their recruitment drive in Yankee Stadium, they were attacked by the Cosmic Stranger, who fled, but only after the Wasp was caught in a terrible explosion. And Hawkeye, his pride hurt, took a time machine into the past to find the Black Knight in the Dark Ages. We'll see him again in a little while. Lightning cracks the midnight skies as a grim group of superhumans stalk from City General Hospital into a driving rain. Jan Pym, the Wasp, has been gravely injured by the sinister, self-styled Stranger. And the doctors are with her now, as is her husband, Hank. But Thor already knows the diagnosis, for he too knows the skills of a healer. He has told no one, but she may not last the night. As Thor, Iron Man, Moondragon, and Beast emerge in the rain, the crowd outside is gathered.
Jeez, those guys are getting weird, Harry. Now they've got a pet gorilla. Sam Reuther from CBS Store, what's the word on Wasp?
We have no official word yet, Mr. Reuther. All I may say is that she hath been injured by the Stranger, and the Mighty Avengers shall bring him to bay for it.
Moondragon, and I believe that's the Beast. Are they Avengers now?
Not as yet. First, there must be tests. Oh, the crowd.
What do you suppose they're here for? The radio had some bulletin about.
Ah, the radio. Shove all the radios.
Who cares why they're here? It's taken me 13 years, but I've finally seen Thor in the flesh.
Give him heck, Thor.
That bald woman gives me the creeps, Billy.
I don't cotton to the gorilla myself, Bitsy.
That's no gorilla, fella. That's a mutant.
Ah, cool, you old witch. I want to know who those two freaks with him are.
Hey, let's get out of here. What about the crowd?
And yes, there's a full page of these people talking to each other, folks. What about the crowd, asks Reuther offhandedly. Thor says nothing. And all at once, Yellowjacket emerges. All at once.
Let's go, Avengers. Right now. We've got work to do.
Easy, YJ. We're ready and willing. How's Jan?
Jan? Why, Jan's in critical condition. The only reason she's not dead is because she was tiny and in midair when the Stranger's mind blew. The first shock wave hurled her away from the epicenter. That way, missing most of the blast, but she may not last till morning.
Yellowjacket steps right out in front of a cab. The driver hits the brakes.
Taxi!
Hey, are you nuts?
Get in! They're doing all they can for her, and there's no miracle doctor this time, so we're going after the Stranger.
Remembering a time when Jan nearly died, shot by a strange bullet during a fight with Count Nefaria, Pym orders all five Avengers into one cab. The driver, worst toupee ever.
Look, this hack ain't licensed for five passengers.
We didn't bring our Quinjet, mister, and our fly guys need a rest, so just drive. Drive to Avengers Mansion.
Soon, back in the mansion.
Where's Hawkeye? Blast it. He should have been back by now.
That's right. With time travel, even a trip to the 12th century could end up back at the time it began. Even if the Black Knight got himself involved in something, he shouldn't still be gone. I'm worried. That hothead.
Iron Man's next words are never spoken, for suddenly a force grips them, physically and yet not. Moondragon knows it's a mind blast, unmistakably the Stranger's, but much stronger than in his previous attack. Even she cannot stand against it, but her eyes widen in amazement as she sees who can. The God of Thunder weathers the mind storm, hurling his defiance in a booming voice lost to the gale. But whether tempest-tossed or triumphant, every person in the room sees a looming, lovely face. Thor realizes that the Stranger is looking into their minds for the Scarlet Witch.
Wanda, the Stranger did seek out our knowledge of her location.
You betcha, Red Rider. And after what he tried with us, we know why. You better get on the horn to Wanda and the Vision pronto.
That's just it, Beast. He didn't find out from us because we don't know.
Of course. They're on their honeymoon. That means he's still looking for them, and we can use that against him.
Decoy, you think? Take off like we're gonna warn them?
Exactly. And when he shows up to do his dirty work? No, on second thought, it won't wash. What if he doesn't show and just uses another mind map?
Some of us could track his power to its source, Henry. 'Tis a sound plan after all, methinks.
Sure, Moondragon and I can take the point.
Nay, old friend. Thou art needed here to operate Anthony Stark's devices. I shall enter the lion's den with Moondragon.
Now, wait a minute.
Thou hast been too long with thine employer, Iron Man. Thou dost love the ladies near as much as he. In addition, the Avengers' two strongest members should each lead a grouping.
Maybe so. But why does Moondragon go with your group?
Thor's smile widens.
Because I be the Avengers' chairman, and 'tis my judgment that she be better suited for this battle than the Beast.
The Stranger actually confronts you,
mutters Yellow Jacket.
I think I'll stay with Iron Man at the tracking machine.
Right on,
rumbles Iron Man.
He knows where the action's gonna be.
Buy on it,
growls Thor. And so it goes until, aboard the Quinjet, Thor and Moondragon are off.
You always have your way, do you not, Thunder God?
I'd be in the right, as I was in this instance.
It does not please me to be haggled over like a serving girl.
Why? Oh, yes it does, you liar.
Why, we meant no mischief, Moondragon. Iron Man and I did but sport with each other as comrades must. Fear not, woman. Thor doth look upon thee solely as an ally, albeit a comely one.
I strive to avoid fear at all times, Thor.
Good, for whatever may fall this day, it will be most fearsome, I wager.
Yet your tone denotes no trepidation, Avenger, only anticipation. Fascinating. The Thunder God to a warrior race. He is nothing like the demigods of Titan I've left behind for Earth. I do not believe I shall like this Avenger.
Many are the thoughts of Thor at this moment, while back at the mansion.
Hope I did the right letting him go without me.
Well, if you didn't, it's too late now. Relax, Hank. It's all up to fate from here on in.
Blast it! That's what has me worried!
Easy, mister. I know you're upset, but don't take it out on me.
And the newest Avenger, the Beast, watches as Yellowjacket threatens to fire a stinger at his ally.
Wow, these guys play a lot grander game than the X-Men ever did. They've got so much power, and they've been in high gear ever since I met them. I hope there's room amongst the superstars for a Beast.
Dawn, over the Florida Keys, the Quinjet lands on the beach.
The authorities say that this island is deserted. It doth seem like a likely lair for a honeymoon. However, so our bait should attract the spider while endangering no one.
Except ourselves. But wait, I feel another attack mounting. Yes!
The massive face of the Stranger appears in the air, soon materializing the entire form of the massive alien. Back in the mansion, the others have the tracking device ready.
You hopeless fools! This time you shan't survive the wrath of the Stranger!
Bingo! There's our signal!
Just as we thought. There's a power beam locked on that island from somewhere. Give me a minute to triangulate.
All the Avengers shall fall before me. First you two, then the Scarlet Witch and the Vision.
We say thee nay. Mine enchanted hammer shall end thy menace, varlet.
But as Thor throws Mjolnir, the Stranger conjures another version of himself.
Fool! In order to injure the Stranger, you must first find me. How can you tell the real from the replica?
Thou hast attempted to amaze me thus before, villain.
But do you not find it curious that he has not attempted a mind blast now, Avenger? Let's see what is real here.
At the mansion, the monitor blinks with the Stranger's real location.
That's got it. And it couldn't be any stickier. The power beam's coming down from the ionosphere, 100 miles up.
Do we walk or do we hitch?
This is no time for jokes, Beast. Head for the roof. We'll take a Quinjet and be out of there inside of 10 minutes.
Nothing I can say or do will slow that maniac down. He's been racing his motor since the moment Jan fell, and he's gonna burn out if he doesn't find some release real soon.
It was you who drove me away last night, woman.
I expect to do so again then, and my instructors entitled me Moondragon.
I, on the other hand, was unable to confront thee the last we met, villain, and thus, while thine other form shall fall to Moondragon, I do pray that I encounter the real one.
But the stranger simply grabs Thor in a giant hand.
Oh? And why would anyone desire his breath to be crushed from his straining lungs?
A man, or an immortal, might desire much worse if it brought him to the proper distance from which to strike.
The hammer sizzles through the air and continues through a suddenly shadowy stranger. The copy disappears. Thor spins head over heels, his momentum sending him flying.
Was not but a phantom, after all. Then that doth mean...
That I am the true stranger, yes. This moon dragon must scamper like a moon mouse. Despite all her bravado.
Mice can vanquish elephants on Earth, so they say. And this mouse knows how to bring the grandest opponent to his knees and his fate.
The other stranger fires blasts out of his hands just before Moondragon hits his heel with a judo chop, toppling the giant over, landing right on his own chin.
Very good, Moondragon.
Agreed. And yet you puzzle me, alien. The first time you attacked last night, your mind power seemed limited. Then, in Avengers Mansion, you were close to omnipotent, and now you seem altogether bereft of psychic strength. Why, stranger? I cannot rest until I know why.
He will not tell thee, woman. Thou must force the stranger's secrets.
So be it.
Imperiously, as if throwing aside a cloak, the priestess of Titan discards all semblance of normalcy. Raw, raging energies ripple from her shaven skull, some visible and some not. But the results are a combination of the two. What a weird line. It's so weird. Sorry, go ahead.
He doth vanish.
It cannot be, unless this too was a replica, unless the stranger was never truly here at all. Both his forms were an illusion.
Both of them? Then he did attack from another place. Yellowjacket was correct.
Yes, Henry Pym is also tight like a drum's head. He will be reckless, erratic. Oh, Thor, he will be a magnet for misfortune. He should not go.
Thou dost not understand, woman. He must go. 'Tis all that a man can do for the one he doth cherish above all else. And he'll rout that stranger somehow, mark my words. But tell me of this feeling thou didst pluck from empty air. Is it something natural for thee? Is it like unto the empathic nature of the Madonna?
Mantis, you mean?
Don't compare her to Mantis, y'all.
She's pissed about it.
We would allow Moondragon to elucidate her powers for you, but right at this moment, the Avengers Quinjet is gliding toward a rendezvous 100 miles above her, and other events of interest must now take center stage. 100 miles into the sky, the Quinjet hones in on a large red spacecraft, and soon, the three Avengers board.
Good work, I am. You locked onto that tractor beam on him the first time.
Well, this ship was engineered and built by Stark Industries, Hank.
Oh, of course. Sorry, I just wanted to get up that beam and get at the stranger. I'm not thinking about much else.
No lie? Well, maybe you should, though. Just because you guys have ways to enter rocket ships doesn't mean the owner's a goner. The X-Men had the first run-in with the stranger, and my personal experiences advances extreme. Get down!
Lasers? Just 4 feet from the floor, set to catch you right across the heart. Nasty, just like I expected.
The Avengers dodge the red lasers while the giant stranger advances toward them.
Cringe, you curs, and cower neath the most basic defense of him you would destroy. Only I am impervious to my ruby beams of doom. The better to stalk and cat-like clutch your two fragile forms, beginning with you, Beast.
Not really necessary, you know. My mom told me to stay out of bad guys' clutches. Specifically, she said clutches. So I'll have to call upon my trusty speed and agility and leap over your ruby begonias. Not unlike the fabled beast of yore and mine. Watch me closely now. See if you can guess which direction I'll come at you from, Caesar Romero.
You do not dare to attack me.
Well, that puts a whole new light on the subject. In that case, I'll dive for the door and run like crazy.
As Beast hops around the room evading the stranger, Yellowjacket and Iron Man are pinned to the ground by the lasers. With the stranger on his heels, Beast rushes through a door, which quickly slams shut behind him. Time for a costume change.
The door. That's our escape.
Too late. It closed behind him automatically.
Listen, stranger. I've been looking forward to my grand reopening with the Avengers for some time.
time now, and so far, you've bummed the whole trip. If you catch me, you're gonna be sorry.
Buffoon! You can elude me with your greater speed. Your cowardice will trip you up in the end. Halt! End it now!
I was going to, but not after you called me names. Catch me if you can, Slewfoot. I sure can rap, can I? Too bad my one real chance for life lies in the seconds I've got before he rounds the corner.
Back aboard the Quinjet, Beast has packed a special pack, and in seconds, he's dressed again as Edward R. Robinson, that old actor from the last issue, complete with a latex mask and hands, shirt and tie, vest and trench coat, hat and a lit cigarette. Hey, he had the whole costume in a bag.
Accursed X-Man, this time, what in the world?
What's the matter, Whitey? You send some of your boys to put the heat on my mob? You gotta expect a call from old brother Orchid. Yeah.
Okay, friends, let's give some cultural context. Cesar Romero is an actor from yesteryear, best known to comic nerds as the Joker from the old Batman TV show, also super gay. And Brother Orchid is an Edward R. Robinson comedy movie from 1940 being referenced by the Beast in 1975. Okay, back to the action. Suddenly there's a flash of gray and pulsing light and the stranger is no more. In his place squats a
Toad? It was you all along.
I dropped my thought form. You startled me.
That's what I intended. I thought there might be something fishy after you ran away from Moondragon at the ballpark, but ran rings around her later, after you came back to your power source, evidently. But I never in my wildest dreams imagined you were the man. Don't try any more mind tricks on me, brother mutant. I won't buy them. Just come along quietly.
You think me helpless? Always, it's the same. He is but the Toad, they say. Forget him. He is a dwarfish dolt. He has no power save for that found in some master. No, I am just the Toad. No longer. I swore to be my own master. That's the reason I stole my marvelous machine. There are many others with which to destroy you back in the main hall. You shall regret underestimating me.
The Toad, dressed in orange and plum in his court jester costume, bounds into the other room where a yellow jacket and Nightcrawler are still pinned down by the lasers.
The Toad, running in here. He's headed for his control panel. Hopping normally and still staying below the 4-foot level. He can outdistance any of us trying to chase him stooped over.
A momentary pause, and despite the risk to his health, go see last issue. There's a size-changing issue with Yellow Jacket's cells right now. Yellow Jacket shrinks a few feet and rushes after the man who hurt his wife.
But he won't escape me, not if I'm the same height. So you like machines, eh? Like the hover mines, eh?
Stay away!
No, Toad. You're going to pay just like any other man. You felt sorry for yourself, so you tore up the warmest, brightest woman who ever walked the earth. I don't care how scrawny you are, little man. I'm going to beat you till there's nothing left at all.
This man is a bona fide superhero, y'all. The hero in yellow and black kicks Toad into a wall of machines and then punches him into the wall while yelling his threats. There's release in this bone-shuddering release of all his fury and frustration in each heavy blow. But there's a sad sickness, too. The release lessens while the sickness grows. Hank Pym falters, stops, and all at once, his battered victim is something else. Toad changes into a bizarre octopus creature, red with black spots, and his tentacles reach out to wrap around Yellow Jacket.
Good Lord, where did this creature come from? Ugh, got me!
Don't believe in it. Tell yourself it is not really happening. He'll never collect his wits in time. He's too strung out. Well, it's my fault he's in this mess. I let the Toad slip away from me while I was lording it over him, and then couldn't catch him under the lasers. But better late than never, I guess.
His costume discarded, the Edward R. Robinson one, the blue beast rushes forward to punch the creature right in the jaw, and Toad shifts back into his own form, soundly defeated.
Like I said, Toad, you've been a real thorn in my paw right along. I hope you have the common decency to just lie there for a while.
The Toad hits the deck, decisively, and before the echo can come back, a sudden silence settles. The echo crescendos like a cannonade as all eyes turn toward the source of the silence. Iron Man, the armored Avenger, hits a knob, shutting the lasers down.
Got it. I knew I could figure it out. This one cuts the lasers. Those hallucinations are rough, aren't they, Hank? There was a time against the Mandarin. Hey, are you all right?
Yeah. I'm okay. You're right. They're rough.
Well, Iron Man congratulates himself for pushing the off button. Beast restrains the toad, who, badly beaten, yells at the heroes.
They would have been a lot rougher if this accursed X-Man had not shattered my concentration with his tricks. But know this, Avengers. You have not heard the last of the terrible toad.
Toady, I told you to lie down. What's gotten into you anyway? You never used to be this bloodthirsty.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, some exposition from Matt Parent.
Do you hear? Call me Toady, a word meaning obsequious sycophant. I was nothing to Magneto, much less to myself, until the real stranger stole us away to his world. Of all mutants, I was the most despised. I had faith in my master, who deserted me at the first opportunity. Though he was swiftly returned, the seeds of rebellion were already sown. It took 2 years, but I harvested that crop. My solitude and freedom were short-lived, however. First, I was captured by the Sentinels, and next, that reunited me with the Scarlet Witch. I had loved her from afar when we were evil mutants together. Now, I made excuses to remain by her side, a slave to her every gesture, and she never knew. That is how I came to be with her and Pietro the night Archon took them. Soon after, you'll recall, the Avengers rescued their teammates, but I asked to remain on Archon's world, for I had plans. I used its resources to construct a ship, as I had seen Magneto do, and flew away, cross distances and dimensions, returning to the prison planet of the Stranger. Most of the time he is gone from there, I had little to fear as I breached the defenses, in much the same way as Magneto had done, and as I had so much to gain, I plundered his planet, removing all his machinery I could understand and installing it in my ship. The thought form was the easiest of them, after all my years with Mastermind. You see, someday, when I felt I had mastered all these devices, I planned to go to Wanda and ask for her hand. Then, my radio monitors announced she'd already married to your android. My pain threatened to enslave me for the final time in that instant. Yet I fought it back, as I have learned to fight everything, and swore an oath to take that pain to her and all Avengers. I used illusions to strike the terror I knew I could never inspire in you. Blast it, look at me when I am talking.
And in like the movie version of this,
like the longest Reddit post ever.
It's 2 pages.
Listen, Toad, I have things to do if I'm going to pilot this ship back to Earth. You blew your chance. It's over.
Someday you'll be sorry for this, I warn you.
Well, send us a postcard when someday's coming up.
Iron Man turns once more to his pilot's chair, and the Beast measures their captive's reaction from the corner of his eye. Neither they nor their captive happens to be facing Yellowjacket.
Have to, hold on, have to, for Jan.
But lest you've forgotten, Ruthann and Dominic are here. But on a South Pacific Isle, 2 lovers are facing them all. Vision and the Scarlet Witch, in their bathing suits, look up at the sky from the beach.
Beautiful night, eh, darling?
I've never felt such peace. Never.
Next, the Wrath of the Whirlwind. The Wasp Stalker is back. It's a wild issue. This issue is insane. It's so funny watching everyone smile through this. We gotta open with one of my all-time favorite characters. This is coming out in Pride Month. We're doing the trial of Heather Douglas Moondragon. And there's a very interesting story arc beginning for her here. She's a relatively new character, fresh from being Madame McEvil, and here she is making some male Avengers fight over her for the first time. We've seen her go after Adam Warlock. We see her do this in The Defenders with Iceman and Angel later. And there's a future story where she literally mind controls an entire planet and rapes Thor during it. Like, takes over his brain and they fully fuck. So Moondragon is going through some things here. Sarah, tell me about the journey of Heather Douglas in this issue.
I don't know. I felt like my voice is kind of dead from being sick, so I don't have like quite the ability to nail the contempt of Moondragon, but I really, really like it. It's my favorite thing about her. She's just like, I don't like being here. she's annoyed about it. I do like the fact that men fight over her everywhere she goes. And I also want to say that I appreciate that the writer is getting more into new words for bald head, right? Because like that's been like the journey that she's undergoing is like, we have to point out that she's bald every time she appears on page. But how are we going to keep doing that without just saying bald head, bald head, bald head? Well, now we can say shorn dome, right?
Do you want to tell us about her raw, raging energies?
Derek, I love your Thor. You're killing it.
When I was reading through this, I think we had this conversation the last time too, like his like bro fight with Tony about over women is timely, I guess, for the comic. But at one point, they say Thor isn't in a lot of thoughts, but like Moondragon is clear that she does not like Thor. So I just wonder what Thor's thoughts, what they were alluding to in that, if it was just like my mind went to a sexual thing, but
I think Heather is not into any men, but we have this journey with her for a while where she looks at the room, finds out who the biggest, most important person is, makes that person wants to fuck her, and then finds a reason not to fuck that person. That's kind of her journey for like a couple of decades.
Classic lesbian behavior. Just kidding.
Like, at what point is there going to be two females on the team? Like, I feel like this is the era where it's not common. Like,
well, there's technically already, because Jan was just on the team and she'll be back. But Wanda's also ready to rejoin. So we get three girls for a little while.
They never talk to each other, though.
Right. Hellcat's on the team pretty soon, as we will see as we go forward with these. It's kind of like that Marvel's perspective where you, like, turn the camera to the crowd for a little bit. You're seeing kind of, like, reactions to larger-than-life superheroes who are behaving so badly. Dominic and Ruthann, do you guys have comments on what it was like to kind of play this crowd scene?
I mean, it took 13 years, but I finally saw Thor in the flesh.
I enjoyed it. I love like the bickering between like, you know, background characters. It kind of gives it, you know, a little bit more. I guess like we can see like more of a normal person's perspective of it versus, you know, the hero's perspective of it. So I always think that's fun to include that.
Vision and Wanda get to rejoin the cast very soon. They're off their honeymoon quite quickly, but here we get one last image of them hanging out in their swimsuits on the beach, taking a break from fucking to look at the moon. We'll miss their honeymoon era.
They're cute.
I just want to say that it is Toad's world and we are butt living in it.
Matt, that was a delicious performance as the Toad portraying the Stranger. What's Toad going through in this issue? Because it's a lot.
It's the most he's ever had his hand on the wheel, I think, I've ever seen. This is like the Toad's one shot to win. He's just got to take advantage of it at every moment. And it's this fucking, it's Hank McCoy. It's one of the kids from the times that he always gets beat that gets him. So the second he sees Hank, my thought was I wanted to slowly like get into the Toad voice a little bit, like give up the big Stranger.
There's that like energy from like the straight guy who has the girl be nice to him once and he doesn't really fit in anywhere. But then he's like, now she's in love with me. I know, I'll pose as a space god and lure her away.
It feels like Wanda wasn't even nice to him. Like Wanda was just not mean to him. Based on like the people that are in the Brotherhood, like just
the bar's pretty low.
They're very he did that long monologue. All he's talking about is how like no one's ever like
he's apparently extremely intelligent because he watched Magneto build a ship and now he can plunder a planet and build his own interdimensional traveling ship. Like
that balance of brilliant and pathetic is fun. Go back to my episode, The Trial of Mortimer Toynbee, for more thoughts. But there's a future issue where Wanda gets pregnant. Toad uses the last of like his resources from the Stranger and Archon and builds himself a literal suit of Toad armor and like kicks a bunch of heroes' asses as he's like bursting into Wanda's house to get her. He's in his full armor and then he sees her pregnant and goes, gross, you're fat. It like goes the other direction. That's a real story from Marvel continuity. Hank Pym, okay. You created Ultron already. You haven't hit Jan yet, but here you are beating an unarmed man senseless. Maybe you could have just stayed at the hospital by your wife's side. That might have been the better choice.
I don't think that, he's thinking very clearly once his anger sets in. I can understand, like, he's very distraught by what's happening, but he definitely also, like, does not care what other people around him are thinking. He's just like, this is the way that things are going to be. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Toad down because he's obviously the villain. And he just has no qualms about that, which is quite different from the rest of the Avengers and X-Men as well.
I love that Toad's master plan is I'm going to set the lasers at 4 feet tall because no one can get around except for me. Yeah.
Unless you shrink and then you have problems unshrinking.
Sarah, you're having some Toad feelings today. I can see it.
I'm always having Toad feelings now that I think about it. Yeah, he's very incel in this issue and going forward often. But, you know, he's kind of sad. You're just like, oh, this guy, that's rough.
Toad is the Stranger is like you jump on Grindr and it looks like the Stranger. But when you show up at the house, it looks like a man in a court jester costume.
Turns out they just look strange instead.
The court
Toad would have
gesture.
Sprung probably for the Stranger's clothes on Grindr at least.
Yeah, that's a good suit. I can see
what there are tentacles there. In this issue.
Yes, and then yeah. Toad's like red tentacle monster. What does this creature look like? This octopus guy?
Sounds very nasty. That's all I have to say.
He's giving like Dr. Seuss somehow. There's something, there's like a reference I'm missing. What is this creature?
It's like the smog monster from Godzilla versus the smog monster. It has like that flappy mouth.
Yeah, yeah. It's very flappy.
It's very flappy.
No, it's getting
this was the first I'd seen him turn into this octopus creature. Does this happen often? Or
no, it's the illusion stuff again. He's just using
his
illusions. And last but surely not least, we have the incredible bouncing beast who is going through some pop culture references in this issue. This is my favorite beast, even though he's so much. Taylor, you have this face when you're doing Beast where you just kind of go smarm. It's
fun because he is doing his little dress-up bit, which for some reason I totally forgot about when I was skimming this issue earlier. I didn't even realize that was him in the Edward Robinson costume again. And then when it came time for that line, I was like, yes, mob accent. Like, this is fun. It's interesting because he definitely sort of feels like he's kind of the token, right? Like, he's the token X-Men. He's the token mutant right now in the Avengers. He's very aware of it. And so in a way, I sort of think, you know, if I had to apply logic to the costume, like maybe it's him trying to stand out and trying to like normalize himself in a very Hank McCoy way. There are two Hanks on the team right now. He's got to be like the Hank that dresses up better. Like, I don't know.
He's really working hard to make himself important. Like, I'm the one that fought these guys before, guys, and look at what I could do. It's kind of cute, his inferiority a little bit.
He changed into a costume and he punched him in the jaw. That's superhero shit.
Sarah, I have two questions for you. A Moondragon scans the room. There are four heroes there. And she's like, I need two of them to fight for me, but not Beast or Yellowjacket. Why? My second question is, what are your opinions on the adjective comely?
I don't know about comely. I'm always like, what does that mean? Because isn't the other one homely or something? So I'm always like, which one are you calling me? I don't know. Like, somebody calls me comely and I'm like, are you saying I'm ugly? But then, okay, the first one was, I need to make two people fight. It can't be Hank. It can't be Yellowjacket. Why do I need them not to fight?
Yeah, I mean, so why'd she choose Thor and Iron Man over the other two?
Oh, because the other two are a wreck. That's it.
I was a big fan of the Yellow Jacket. I felt the Yellow Jacket.
Daniel, you do a great job at like coming across with Hank's douchiness, but also very unhinged. And you're like, is this what is he? Is he upset? Is he happy?
But also in the nicest voice possible.
Yes. I try to channel all of my like frat bro energy in, like, if a frat bro was a superhero that also like was worried about his wife at all times.
He's like, she's the only person half my age who will look at me, everyone.
That's exactly right.
On the next cover of Avengers 139, Thor, Iron Man, and Beast's heads float in the air while Jan lays in a coma, while the whirlwind is ripping a blanket off of her bed and also fist fighting Iron Man or Yellowjacket over her body in the critical care unit of the hospital. That's pretty much what happens next issue. It's truly crazy.
Like a CW show in here.
I'm sure Yellowjacket will be on his best behavior.
I am sure he will not. Even after Jan feels better, we'll get there.
I forgot how much I love the Whirlwind's costume, like with the little peekaboo harness. Oh, yeah. Like, It's kind of serving.
100%. Yeah, I mean, he's a creepy stalker, but I kind of love it. His original code name is the Human Top. I totally want to do the Trial of Whirlwind on my show. I have a lot of feelings. I once wrote a pitch to Marvel called Dark X-Men, in which the Whirlwind just gets his ass fucking beat by Necra on the first few pages, and it's really fun. Never got published, obviously, but I had big hopes.
As an Edward G. Robinson fan, I am living.
Oh, I love the use of Cesar Romero too. Comparing Toad to Cesar.
I'm ready to audition for the part of Human Top, I think.
That's Moondragon.
I was gonna say, does he have a sidekick called the Human Bottom? Like,
crazy. All right, we're gonna begin our wrap up here. Thank you everybody so much for listening. I had a joyful time with you today. You can follow Gray Malkin_Lane on Instagram most easily. I keep my own social media private because I've got kiddos. We're gonna put this out on June 2nd. This is Pride Month. The very next episode of this show is gonna be another zany beast adventure from Marvel Team Up number 38, where we get the return of Johnny Horton the Griffin. I'm a big fan of this weird character. And my guests on that crazy issue, wonderfully, is Tom Brevoort and Mark Russell, which is an incredible combination. Watch for queer characters over on the Patreon channel as well, opening the month with Gray Malkin, with Gray Malkin's creator, Mark Guggenheim, joining me for that one.
Happy Pride, all of a sudden. We're recording this in April, but I'm hyped for Pride. I'm excited. If you are here, then that means that the future exists, and I'm very happy to hear it. I am Sarah Century. You can find me at my website. Please just look at my website, sarahcentury.com. That's the easiest place to go, because God knows that all of these platforms, who knows what's going on with them? Mostly bad things. But go to sarahcentury.com. I make zines. If you're here for Pride, then you should know that I did a lesbian vampire zine just now that you can find. But once again, you must go to my website to figure that out.
If all works out, Sarah will also be with me twice more in Pride Month. One for Mankiller, who is an amazing character on the Patreon, and also for the Trial of Moondragon, which I can't wait. I love hanging out with you every time, my friend.
You can find me on Instagram at Hedda Dabbler, like Hedda Gabler, but dabbling, where I post pictures of cats and the sky and sometimes curling.
I hope you, Ruth and everyone has a Wanda headpiece. I hope you get your wife to dress as the Vision, and have a good night. Have a good time, my friend.
All right, guys, you guys can find me on most social media platforms, Twitter with DJamilM, or you guys can look up I'm Captain America, and you guys will see the potentially why I changed it to that name. Find me on Instagram, DominicJamilM, Twitch, I'm also a streamer, Dom901_, and on TikTok, DJMiddleton4, where you guys can see my life and my cosplays that I love doing. So
I am Taylor Vessel. Happy Pride Month. Hopefully everyone finds some good queer joy this month and balances it with the queer rage that I'm sure we will all still be feeling. You can find me, Instagram's probably the easiest, at Taylor_TheBookstaboy.
I'm Matt Parent. I host Escape the Mojoverse. You can find us at Escape the Mojoverse on Instagram or Mojoverse Pod on Blue Sky. During June, we are talking all about Avengers Academy by Anthony Oliveira. We're very excited to do that.
You can follow me on Instagram at Derek J. Nichols.
My name is Dr. Daniel Guilford. I want to encourage everyone to keep resisting, show other people love, also make meaning of the things that you love in your life. I'm not on Instagram or any sort of social network, but I will be at the Uncanny Experience. I look forward to seeing you there. If you see me there, please come up and say hello. I'd love to meet people and talk about X-Men, which is one of my favorite things to do in the whole wide world.
And finally, Corey.
Hello, Corey. I don't have any public face socials or anything like that, but if it's June and you are at DC Pride and you see me, come say hi, give me a hug. That's where I'll be. And also, happy Pride to everyone. Go out, support a queer-owned business. Reach out to a trans friend.
Yeah, and lastly, to celebrate Pride Month, you know, think of that person you've had a crush on for a minute. You could ask them out, or you could get a holographic projection of a space god and see how that goes. It's been so joyful to record this stupid, stupid issue with you all. Thank you for hanging out with me. Watch for the next Avengers script reading in August, everybody, and we will see you all back here next time on Gray Malkin Lane. Thank you for listening to Gray Malkin Lane. We hope you are enjoying this podcast. Gray Malkin Lane is produced and recorded in Salt Lake City, Utah, with music and editing done by my husband, Michael Bell, and promo art done by the incredible Seth Martell. Look for us on Patreon, where we are releasing weekly episodes about obscure characters and facts. It's a great way to participate with the podcast for only just a couple of dollars a month, and it helps support what we are doing here. Also, the best way you could help Graham Alkin Lane is by sharing and liking and subscribing, but also please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll see you back here next time on Graham Alkin Lane.